Okay, get this. We're diving into the world of butterflies today.
Ooh, sounds interesting.
But not just any butterflies. We're going to focus on how even the tiniest temperature shifts can have massive consequences for an entire population.
Wow, that's pretty sensitive, isn't it?
It is. It's mind-blowing. And our source material for this deep dive is a 2022 research paper with a really long title. Yearly Weather Variation and Surface Temperature Drives the Spatiotemporal Dynamics
Wow, that is a mouthful.
of Threatened Butterfly and Its Host Plant. And get this, they use drones with infrared cameras to actually track the butterfly behavior.
So like a little heat-seeking missile, but for science?
Exactly.
That's awesome.
So by the end of this deep dive, you'll understand not only how vulnerable these delicate creatures are, but also how scientists are using some pretty cutting-edge tech to study the impacts of climate change.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So first up, let's get to know our star, the Marsh Fritillary.
The marsh fritillary, also known as Euphydria zarinia, is a really captivating, but unfortunately threatened butterfly species found in Europe.
And this particular study swooped in on a population on Fælhavsdal, a Swedish island in the Baltic Sea.
Okay, I've heard of that.
And picture this, their home is this unique landscape of fens and grasslands with this thin soil over limestone bedrock.
Interesting.
Already kind of a challenging environment, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And then you factor in their life cycle. These butterflies spend like a huge chunk of their lives as immobile eggs and larvae, which makes them
Oh, wow.
especially susceptible to those temperature fluctuations.
So if the temperature swings too far in either direction, that's a real problem.
It's a huge problem for those little guys.
And adding yet another layer of complexity, the marsh fritillary is univoltine,
Meaning
meaning they only have one generation per year.
what?
So every year is really make or break for them.
So that puts a lot of pressure on each generation.
Yeah, there's no second chance.
I imagine the researchers had a lot to keep track of.
Oh, for sure.
Look at this.
Tons of data. They meticulously tracked this butterfly population over 6 years.
6 years. Wow.
They mapped out like hundreds of larva nests. They observed thousands of adult butterflies.
Wow, that's a lot of butterflies.
But they went beyond just watching and counting. They
That's...
wanted to understand the landscape, you know,
Right.
these butterflies were living in.
And that's where those high-tech drones come in,
Yeah,
right?
you got it.
I'm picturing some amazing footage.
More than just footage.
Okay.
These drones were equipped with thermal sensors.
Oh, wow.
So they were able to create these incredible maps of surface temperature
That's amazing.
variations across the entire study area.
Really brought a new dimension to the research.
It really
I
did.
bet they got some interesting data.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Did anything stand out in terms of like yearly
Oh,
variations?
absolutely.
Okay.
2018, for example, was a real scorcher. Much hotter and drier than the other years in this study.
And I'm guessing that heat wave did no favors for the marsh fritillary.
You guessed it. It was devastating. Their numbers just plummeted that year.
Really? So, like, how bad are we talking?
In the years before the drought, researchers documented hundreds of thriving larva nests.
100.
After the drought, they could only find 10.
10.
10. And even those were in mostly poor condition, just struggling to survive.
So even those microhabitats, those little pockets that might normally offer some protection, they couldn't buffer against that extreme heat.
Seems that way.
So it highlights how even small changes in climate can have this domino effect on a whole ecosystem.
It's
It's not
greatest.
just a few degrees of temperature.
It's not.
It's about this delicate balance that these species rely on.
Totally.
And it's not just the butterflies themselves that are affected. What
Right.
about their host plants? The Devil's Bit Scadius, I believe.
Oh, yeah, that's another fascinating aspect of this research. While the butterfly population did rebound to its pre-drought numbers, in the following years, the Devil's Bit Scabious was much slower to recover.
So that lag in recovery could create a real bottleneck for the butterflies,
You
right?
got it.
Even if they can tolerate the heat. If their food source isn't readily available, it's still a problem.
It's a huge problem.
Did the researchers notice any other changes in the butterflies related to these temperature fluctuations?
They observed that the length of the adult flight season,
Okay.
which is, you know, essentially their window of opportunity to mate and lay eggs,
Got it.
shortened with increasing temperatures.
So less time to find a mate, less time to lay eggs, less chance of,
passing on their genes, yeah.
Successfully passing on their genes to the next generation, all because it's just too hot.
Exactly.
It doesn't end there, right?
It doesn't. The researchers also observed shifts in which nectar plants the butterflies preferred.
Oh, interesting.
From year to year.
So they weren't always in their ideal temperature zone.
Right.
They had to, like, compromise
yeah.
to get the food they needed.
Exactly.
Let's talk about those heat maps
okay.
generated by the drones.
The drones, yeah.
What did they reveal about how the butterflies were actually using the landscape?
The drone data was really insightful.
Okay.
What they found was that the larvae and their host plants
okay.
actually preferred warmer spots
interesting.
Than the adult butterflies did.
Now that's surprising.
Yeah, right.
Why might that be?
Well, the researchers speculate that for the larvae,
okay.
warmer temperatures could mean faster development.
Got it.
A lower risk of parasitism.
Makes sense.
And better host plant growth.
Okay.
Remember, they're immobile during this stage.
Mm-hmm.
So having those ideal conditions right where they are is crucial.
So they need that warmth to thrive. But I'm guessing the extreme heat of that 2018 drought year,
you know,
threw a wrench in things.
Oh, yeah. Big time. The drought flipped the script. In 2018 and 2019, the host plant density actually peaked.
Okay.
At intermediate temperatures.
So even they were stressed by the extreme heat.
It seems so.
So does that mean that even the plants are having to adapt?
Possibly.
To these increasingly extreme temperatures?
That's a great question.
And they observed that the longest leaves on the host plants were found at average temperatures.
Yeah.
Before the drought.
Okay.
But after the drought, those longer leaves were found in less favorable spots.
Huh. Interesting.
It sounds like the drought had this ripple effect.
It did.
Not just affecting the butterflies.
Right.
But also the entire plant community.
The whole community.
And how they interact with the environment.
Yeah. Really complex.
I'm starting to see why this research is so important.
I think so, too.
It's not just about butterflies.
It's about so much more.
It's about understanding how a changing climate
yeah.
can reshape entire communities of species.
Right.
In these sometimes really unexpected ways.
Totally unexpected.
It makes me wonder about those marsh fritillary eggs too, right?
Yeah, good point.
Remember, they're immobile.
Yeah, they're sitting ducks.
They're super vulnerable.
Exactly. The researchers tracked the survival of individual egg batches laid in 2020.
Okay.
To see how they fared overwintering into 2021.
Oh, wow.
And they found that survival was significantly higher in warmer areas.
Okay.
And where the host plant density was high.
So it's a double whammy.
Yeah.
They need the right temperature.
Uh-huh.
But they also need to be in a spot with plenty of food.
Absolutely.
Waiting for them when they hatch.
Otherwise, no good.
3 out of 10 egg colonies they were tracking didn't make it through that winter.
Oh, that's rough.
So it brings home just how precarious life can be.
It really does.
For these butterflies.
Yes, these little guys, yeah.
That's a lot to take in.
It is.
What does this all mean for us sitting here potentially miles away from the nearest marsh fritillary?
That's the big question, isn't it?
How do these findings connect to this bigger picture of climate change?
Well, that's something we're going to explore further as we dive deeper into this research.
Okay, I'm interested.
But one thing is clear. Climate change is bringing more extreme weather events.
Uh-huh.
And that means more species are going to face these same make or break temperature challenges.
So the story of the marsh fritillary
yeah.
is really a microcosm of what's happening.
On a larger scale.
On a larger scale. All over the planet.
Yeah, all over the place.
And understanding these complex relationships
mm-hmm.
is crucial for effective conservation efforts.
Absolutely.
It seems like even seemingly small changes
mm-hmm.
in microclimate
yeah.
can have cascading effects.
They do.
On entire ecosystems.
Whole ecosystems.
Makes you wonder.
Yeah.
If that drought year somehow selected for females who prefer to lay their eggs in cooler spots,
mm-hmm.
could we actually see a shift?
Possibly.
In the butterfly's preferred temperature range over time?
That's an interesting thought.
It's like evolution in action.
It is.
Happening right before our eyes.
Right before our eyes. Makes you appreciate the adaptability of life, doesn't it?
But is it always about adapting?
That's a good question.
Can we assume all species will be able to adjust
as
the climate changes?
That's a crucial question.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's no easy answer.
Okay.
The researchers did make a point of emphasizing
okay.
that while some species might be able to, you know,
uh-huh.
tweak their behavior or even evolve over time,
right.
others simply won't be so lucky.
Right. So
There's a limit to how much change an organism can tolerate.
And those are the species we should be most concerned about, right?
Exactly.
The ones already living on the edge.
Edge, yeah.
Pushed to their limits by habitat loss.
Yeah.
And all these other human impacts.
It's a sobering thought.
And it brings it back to the importance of those microclimates.
Yeah, those tiny variations in temperature and humidity within a larger habitat.
It's like real estate.
Totally.
Location, location, location.
Location, location, location.
But on a miniature scale.
Right.
So are you saying we need to think smaller?
I think so.
When it comes to conservation.
Mm.
Not just protecting large tracts of land, but paying attention to the finer details.
I think that's a key insight from this research.
Okay.
It's not just about preserving a forest or a glass land.
Yeah.
It's about understanding the nuances within those ecosystems and how even subtle changes can have a big impact.
And those drones are playing a crucial role.
They are.
In helping us see those nuances.
Huge role.
I'm picturing a whole new era of conservation.
Yeah, imagine.
Where we're using this kind of technology to manage landscapes on a much finer scale.
The level of detail we can get with these drones is incredible.
It's incredible.
It's giving us a perspective we simply didn't have before.
So it's not all doom and gloom.
Not all.
We have these powerful tools.
We do.
To help us understand and protect these vulnerable ecosystems.
There's always hope.
There is, but we need to act quickly.
Right. We do. We need to act quickly and use the knowledge we're gaining from research like this to guide our actions.
It's a powerful message.
It is.
And it connects back to that idea of interconnectedness we were talking about.
Yeah, it all comes back to that.
It's not just about saving the butterflies.
Right.
It's about the health of the entire planet.
It's about the whole enchilada.
That's exactly right.
And it brings us back to you, the listener.
Okay, here we go.
What can you do to make a difference?
It can feel overwhelming.
Oh, I know.
Like, what can one person really do?
Right.
In the face of such a massive problem.
I understand that feeling.
So what can we do?
Well, even small actions can add up.
Okay.
First and foremost, educate yourself.
Okay, so do your research.
Yeah.
Learn about the species in your area. The challenges they face.
The organizations that are working to protect them.
There's a lot of great information out there.
Oh, yeah, tons.
Knowledge is power.
You got it.
Once you're informed, you can start making choices that reflect your values.
Absolutely. So, like, support sustainable businesses. Advocate for environmental policies that align with your beliefs.
Got it.
And consider volunteering your time to help with conservation efforts.
Even something as simple as, you know,
planting native wildflowers in your yard can provide habitat for pollinators.
Every little bit helps.
It does.
It's about creating that ripple effect.
It is.
Just like those temperature changes we were talking about.
Right.
But in a positive direction.
In a good way.
And let's not forget
the
simple power of appreciating the natural world.
Get outside.
Get outside. Observe.
Observe the incredible diversity of life.
And share that sense of wonder with others.
Because if we don't care about these creatures and their habitats,
who will?
It's about fostering a sense of connection.
Absolutely.
Recognizing that we're all part
of this intricate web of life.
Yeah, we're all connected.
That's where true change begins.
That's right.
And speaking of change, I want to circle back to the research for a minute.
Okay, let's do it.
One thing that really struck me was how long-lasting the impacts of that 2018 drought were.
They really were.
Even years later.
Yeah.
The ecosystem was still showing signs.
Oh, for sure.
Of disruption.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
It is.
The researchers found that the relationship between population density and surface temperature was completely disrupted by that extreme weather event.
And the effects were still evident.
They were.
Several years later.
Years later.
So it's not just about weathering a single bad year.
No. Not at all.
It's about the potential for long-term consequences that could take years or even decades to play out.
It really underscores the fact that we're dealing with incredibly complex systems, systems that are constantly in flux.
Yeah.
And any attempt to predict the future,
it is bound to be uncertain.
But even with that uncertainty, it feels like this research is giving us a much clearer picture.
I agree.
Of how these systems work.
And how they're responding to the pressures of a changing climate.
Exactly.
We need to embrace that complexity and use the best available science to guide our actions.
I want to focus in on the butterflies themselves for a minute.
Okay, the butterflies.
We've talked about how they prefer those warmer microhabitats. Mm. But what about those extreme temperatures?
That's the question.
Is there a point where it's simply too hot?
Yep.
Even for a heat-loving butterfly.
The research does offer some clues about that.
Okay.
They found evidence that during that drought year, the density of larva nests actually decreased.
Oh, interesting.
As surface temperatures rose.
So even these little heat seekers have their limits.
It seems so.
What happens when those limits are exceeded?
Sadly, we see the answer in those 3A colonies that didn't survive the winter.
Extinction is a very real possibility.
It is. It's a sobering reminder of the stakes involved.
It makes the need for conservation efforts even more urgent.
More urgent than ever.
What other insights did the researchers glean about the butterfly's life cycle?
Well, we've already touched on how the duration of their flight season decreased with rising temperatures.
Less time for mating and egg laying.
Exactly. But they also observed those shifts in nectar plant preferences.
Right.
From year to year, remember.
Right.
The butterflies were forced to seek out blooms wherever they could find them.
They had to compromise just to survive.
Exactly. And this highlights the importance of habitat diversity.
So having a variety of food sources and microclimates can help buffer a species.
Yeah, it's like a bug.
Against the impacts of climate change.
Absolutely.
So it's not enough to just protect a single type of habitat.
We need to think about preserving a mosaic of different habitats.
A mosaic, I like that.
Within a landscape.
That's a great way to put it.
We need to think about ecosystems as a whole.
We do.
Recognizing the interconnectedness of all the parts.
Yeah, all the parts working together.
And this brings us back to those incredible drones, doesn't it?
It does.
They're giving us such a valuable tool for understanding those intricate relationships.
The level of detail in that drone data is remarkable.
It is, for example, remember how they found that host plant density actually peaked at those intermediate temperatures during the drought years?
Right, suggesting that even the plants were struggling to cope with the extreme heat.
And then there was that observation about the longest leaves being found in less favorable spots after the drought.
Yes. It paints a picture of a dynamic system.
Where both the butterflies and their host plants are constantly adjusting and responding.
They are always adjusting.
To the changes in their environment.
It's a bit like a giant complex puzzle, isn't it?
It is. And we're just starting to understand how the pieces fit together.
And the more we learn, the better equipped we'll be to protect these precious ecosystems.
I'm sensing a theme here.
I am too.
Knowledge leads to understanding.
It does.
Which leads to better conservation.
That's the hope.
But it's not just about the science, is it?
No, it's not just the science.
There's something about these butterflies and their struggle for survival. That touches us on a deeper level.
I think so, too.
There's something almost poetic about it.
Right.
Don't you think? The way they navigate these challenges with such resilience and grace.
It's a reminder that even the smallest creatures can teach us valuable lessons about life.
Lessons about adaptation.
Adaptation.
Interconnectedness.
Interconnectedness.
And the importance of appreciating the delicate balance of nature.
It is a delicate balance.
It's inspiring, really. Their fight for survival, it's almost like a reflection of our own challenges in a way.
I see that.
We're all just trying to find our place
and
adapt to this changing world.
That's a beautiful way to put it. Their resilience is pretty amazing.
It is.
In the face of all these environmental pressures.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder that even amidst adversity, there's beauty and hope to be found.
Speaking of hope, one thing that really impressed me about this research was... The collaborative spirit.
Oh, yeah. It was a real team effort.
It wasn't just a bunch of scientists in a lab. It was researchers and field assistants and even local residents.
Citizen science in action.
Exactly.
It shows that everyone has a role to play.
Everyone.
In understanding and protecting our natural world.
Absolutely. Whether it's collecting data, breathing awareness, or just making more sustainable choices in our own lives.
It all adds
up. We all have a part to play. It brings us back to that idea of interconnectedness.
It always comes back to that.
Doesn't it? We're all in this together.
We are.
Humans and butterflies alike.
All part of the same web.
As we wrap up our deep dive into the world of the marsh fritillary.
Yeah.
I'm left with this mix of emotions.
I get that.
On one hand, there's this sense of urgency, right? Yeah. Knowing how vulnerable these creatures are and how rapidly our climate is changing.
We need to act quickly and decisively to protect these fragile ecosystems.
But on the other hand, I'm also feeling like a glimmer of hope.
Oh, good.
You know, we're learning so much about how these butterflies are adapting.
Yeah, we are.
And we're developing these new tools and strategies to help them survive.
It's not hopeless.
It's not.
No.
This research has shown us that even small changes in temperature can have a huge impact.
They can.
And it's a reminder that climate change is already having a profound effect.
It is.
On ecosystems around the world.
But it's also a reminder that we're not powerless.
We're not?
In the face of this challenge.
Right. So what can we do?
Well, we can make a difference.
Okay.
By working together.
Okay.
Supporting conservation efforts and making conscious choices in our own lives.
By doing those things, we can help ensure that butterflies, like the
marsh fritillary,
continue to grace our planet for generations to come.
It's a future worth fighting for.
It is a future where both butterflies and humans can thrive.
I like that.
So to our listener out there.
Yeah, to the listener.
We encourage you to take what you've learned from this deep dive and turn it into action.
Yeah.
Learn more, get involved, and let's all be part of the solution.
That's a great message to end on.
I think so.
Thanks for joining us on this journey of discovery.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Keep exploring, keep learning, and keep wondering about this amazing world around us.